Episode 154, BulaNetwork.com. Every now and then we all get into a funk, a rut, maybe even a ditch. What do you do? How do you bounce back? How do we grow our resilience? Let's talk about it next. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell. I am your host here at BulaNetwork.com. We are about building successful businesses. And yes, your career could be a business. Not all the listeners have their own business. And not all of them even want their own business. But we've all got our own lives, we've got our own business, whether we think about it this way or not, in that we're responsible for revenue. We're responsible for an income. We're responsible for our expenses. So your household, it is a business, and we want to do that business better. You know, but sometimes we just get knocked in the dirt. You ever just gone along quite swimmingly, but all of a sudden the phone rings and within seconds, you're just in a funk, depressed. Oh, maybe not clinically so, but you know, the kind of depression that we all experience sometimes. We get down, we get discouraged. Yeah, we feel like crap. It just, man, all of a sudden, it's just, we went from feeling optimistic to, okay, now not so much. What do you do? What's your reaction to that? When that happens, do you embrace that and just wallow around in it? Just let it set in for days? Or do you try to do something to get out of it? What is that? What do you do? Is there someone you call? Do you have perhaps a few books that you go to? If you're a person of faith, do you pray? Do you meditate? Do you go for a drive? I know people who spend money. They go shopping. You know, like, boy, that's the worst thing that you could do. But there are people who do that. And the response that you have to those kinds of situations may not be the same all the time. You may not respond the same way every time. There may be some times that you respond better than you do other times. And it can have things to do with, well, how well you're feeling physically. May have to do with how much sleep you got the night before. It may have to do with how well your relationship with your spouse is going at the time. It's just, it is the stuff of life. It is the grind of all of these wheels that turn, and all of the belts and the chains and the pulleys that make up life. And they do sometimes get out of sync. Today, I'm just going to share some tidbits and some stories. And the hope is that this will help, because this is a time of year that a lot of people think about in very positive terms. And even though we've had some horrible, terrible things happen in the news recently, it seems that there are two polar opposite groups around this time of year. Those people that love it and embrace it so, and then there are those that positively hate it, dread it, because for them there's pain associated with it. Maybe death, maybe illness, maybe some tragedy that occurred years ago, but the memory of it is resurrected around this time of year. I don't know how it is for you. I obviously hope that you are in the category of people that don't have horrible memories and that this is not a difficult time of year, no more so than any other time of year, but you might be. You might be in that select group that sadly seems to be growing. But you know, tragedy happens and bad news is delivered every single day of the year, every hour of every day of every year, there's bad news. A lot of people like to live by the adage that you can do anything, you can overcome anything. I've lived long enough on the planet to just know that that's just not true. And so I'm not going to tell you that. I'm not going to tell you that all bad news can be overcome. I am going to tell you that all bad news can be managed. All bad news can be handled. And yes, I do believe that it can be handled better. I didn't say well. There are some people who can handle it well and others who can't handle it well, but I do believe that we can all manage to manage it better. And it takes work. It takes a lot of work. I don't have any doubt in my mind. You may. I don't. I don't have any doubt in my mind that much of life's success and failures occurs firstly and mostly in our head. Now, I know that sounds like a direct contradiction to what I just said earlier, that, you know, we can't overcome everything. We do not have the power to just will things to be. We're not God. We're not in control. And as much as we want to be in control, it seems as though the more we want control and try to get control, the less we realize we have it. Things happen that cause us to realize, okay, well, I thought I was in charge, but now not so much. At my age, I look with amazement at people who have an arrogance about them, not a confidence, an arrogance, a pompousness about them. And I just, you know, I sometimes wonder if it's real. I wonder if it's genuine. I wonder, you know, I mean, can they be that deluded? Can they really have that high an opinion of themselves? And I'm convinced that yes, there are people who can. Might I cite Donald Trump? Might I cite just about everyone who is on the panel of Shark Tank? I tip my hat to their success. I tip my hat to their business acumen. I tip my hat to their hard work. I tip my hat to the success that they have had in building and or selling businesses. But doesn't make them better than you. Yes, it may make them smarter than you. It may make them more experienced than you. It may even make them wiser than you, but it doesn't inherently make them better than you. I've had a long-standing conversation with a variety of people in my life who enjoy looking at those people who have succeeded just wildly in life. And by success, I mean they've gotten rich. Only to read about their personal lives and to read of sons or daughters who have been in and out of rehab clinics, marriages that have failed, bitter divorces that have ensued, countless lawsuits, countless friendships that have been betrayed because, well, greed overrode the friendship. The world is full of many successful people who are not necessarily good people. Now, that does not mean that you must be a bad person in order to succeed. I'm not saying that. I'm just simply saying that success in one area of life, in whatever area it may be, It could be athletics. It could be in financial affairs. It could be in anything. It could be in music or art or some creative process. Just because a person is successful in one area does not necessarily mean that they are successful in all other areas. Like being good husbands or fathers, for instance. And I know some very good men who, by any measurement, have been extraordinarily successful, except financially. Providing for their families? Yes. With opulence? No. Some months just barely getting by? Yes. Other months being a bit more comfortable? Yes. But being good husbands, being good fathers, raising wise children, these things happen. These things happen, and I realize that this is very anti the gospel of prosperity. Be a good person and all good things will flow to you. Well, that's just blatantly untrue. But let's get back on track to resilience and when things don't go so well. When you're not feeling so successful, or when in actuality you're not being very successful, when you're failing and you're failing miserably, but you're desperate. Desperate. Desperation is, in my experience, first and foremost, something that occurs in our mind. I'm not saying that there are not desperate situations, so don't misread me. I'm not minimizing. Who among us would minimize the pain being suffered in Newtown, Connecticut? No one. No one in their right mind would dare minimize that. And I'm not. But all of us who have suffered loss, albeit not the loss that these people have suffered necessarily, we do realize that time goes on. And with each passing day is a new day. And many of these things do require long time to come to grips with the fact that we do have to march on. As much as we may hate it, as much as we may dread it, as much as we may feel lonely in doing it, we must march on. What's the alternative? We're not attracted to the alternative. Don't be attracted to the alternative. I mean, none of us want to consider, yes, the coward's way out. Exiting this life by taking our own life is no course of action at all. Not a wise choice, a foolish choice, a stupid choice, a selfish choice. A choice not worth considering. Well, that leaves us with the alternative. We've got to somehow find the way to pick up and move on. The world is full of people who have had businesses and careers that have gone south, and in some cases gone south very quickly. I was reading someone's blog post just this week, and they were talking about how they had some clients lined up, and these clients represented $10,000 to $15,000 worth of revenue for their company. And it was one of those things like we often do. You bank on it. You're betting on it. Well, they didn't come to fruition. They fell through. They didn't happen. And immediately panic ensued. It was that proverbial, now what? Now what are we going to do? We've all been there. We've all been there. I know that you realize that, you know, the people that fly the highest and have their own Gulf Streams have never been there. They've been there. Trust me, they've been there. And many of them have been there in deeper, darker crevices than you and I have been in, because there's a lot more zeros involved in the numbers that they're playing with. I was watching an episode the other night of Restaurant Impossible. You ever watch this show? It's a pretty good show. I don't think it's as good as Hotel Impossible, but I like Anthony a little better than the cat that's on the Restaurant Impossible. But the premise of the show is pretty simple, and it's pretty spectacular, actually. He goes into a restaurant that is struggling. He's a chef. He's got this world-class background, and he's got a couple of days and $10,000 to basically perform an intervention, do a turnaround. And he's somewhere up in Michigan, and the poor woman has got this little Italian restaurant that just looks deplorable, and the menu is awful. The food is awful. I mean, everything about it is awful, but it's been in business for like 50 years going on. And she is a single mother of a 2-year-old, and she's in $600,000 debt. She's losing $12,000 a month. And I'm watching this poor woman, who clearly has no clue about what she's doing, desperately needs this help. And I'm thinking, man, you know, I mean, how much help is he going to be able to give her? I mean, she's in such a deep hole, it's going to take a long time. And, you know, your heart is just, I don't know. Yes, the Bible says my countenance fell. It absolutely took the smile off my face, you know, watching her and watching the struggle and seeing things that, and I'm not a restaurant guy, never been a restaurant guy, but I'm spotting things just like he did immediately that she could fix and needs to fix. And, you know, and I'm constantly fascinated a bit by people who get themselves in situations that they're just completely ill-equipped. They're, you know, a person who's in the restaurant business who basically has no business being in the restaurant business. Why are you even in the restaurant business? And of course, the first question he asks is, have you ever been in the restaurant business? No, but her father was. And it's as though there was this osmosis that was going to have happened in her youth that was going to instantly make her qualified to be a world-class restaurateur. Didn't happen. But, you know, let's hold up on that rock throwing there, shall we? Because as we look around our own walls, we realize they too are made of glass. And how many of you have gotten into a business for which you weren't really that qualified? Yeah. Because we're chasing some dream. And because we're living in a land where we are just overrun with that law of attraction, and you can do anything you put your mind to. No, you can't. I mean, there are some things that just realistically are beyond reach. Oh, does that mean that you have severe limitations? No. But it may mean that you need to kind of take a look at your toolkit, at your experience. I mean, I'm 55. I've said this before. I'm not going to be a world-class heart surgeon. I'm not going to be a surgeon. It's not going to happen. It's beyond the realm of possibility. Well, is it now? Is it completely impossible? No, it's not completely impossible, but it's highly improbable. So, you know, do you want to keep score on this scale of highly improbable versus grossly impossible? I mean, is that the precipice that we want to live our lives on? No, of course not. You know, coaching, and I'm doing increasingly more of it, and probably to tell you the truth, because I'm good at it. I'm true confession time. I have fought this I fought this for years because, and I'll tell you very plainly why. I've continued to listen and to hear all the messages of how it doesn't scale. And I know it doesn't scale. And you know what? I don't care. Because the very thing about it that makes me good at it is because I get, you know, I get involved. I make it my business. I get really wrapped up in it. I wake up in the morning thinking about your business. And it's both a curse and a blessing at the same time. It makes me good at it, but it also puts a cap on me. It's a limitation. Well, I understand that. And I'm at a stage of my life where, you know what? I finally, you know, some months ago decided I don't care. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I'm not trying to build some, you know, world-class digital empire. I'm not trying to build some software company that I can sell and make millions and then do what? It's work, and it's profitable work, and it's meaningful work, and it is what it is. And I'm cool with that. But, you know, there's so many things in life that we find ourselves in this situation. We're not cool with it. We have such a level of discontentment. And our discontentment is just fueled and fueled and fueled. And as a result, sometimes the bad news that we get is the defeat, is the failure. And it just completely buckles our knees. I'm not saying that this is always the case, mind you, but sometimes I see this as the case where people just need to pick up and take a hard look in the mirror and assess themselves, their talents, their skills, their toolkit. And I'm not saying everything is forever. Hey, the fact that I am taking on clients today does not mean I'm going to do it forever. I may not. I may figure some other things out. But for today, I'm cool with it. I mean, you go over to the coaching page and you see three pretty simple little offers, and it's not game changing. It's not life changing in the sense that it's going to impact my financial lifestyle. I'm not going to go, you know, driving Lamborghinis because of it. I'm more intent on it being life changing for the people that I'm trying to help. The dollar amount's not going to be life changing for them. That's the whole point. The point, it's not, you know, it's not like, and people do this, and this kind of drives me crazy. I do understand the marketing notion of it all, but, you know, when you see people who want to try to throw out there that, you know, their time, they're so extraordinarily fantastic and successful that they can't possibly entertain talking to someone for under $5,000 an hour. And, you know, and you're sitting here thinking, you know, there are spectacularly wealthy people who aren't making that. I mean, if the typical hour, if a typical 40-hour week, which works out with, if you include vacation, to about 2,080 hours a year, then that's $10.4 million. If you bill $5,000 an hour times 2,080, that's $10.4 million. They're not making $10.4 million. You know, they're making $1.50. Maybe they're making $2.50. Okay, maybe push it. Maybe they're making $500,000 a year. But their time's worth $5,000 an hour. You know, meanwhile, here we are with something that's far more reasonable. Let's go back to the person, though, who, you know, betting on the $10,000 to $15,000 and something happened. Now, we all have lived our lives at times on thin ice. Maybe because we were stupid. Maybe because it was, you know, it's just the circumstance that we find ourselves in. Who cares who's to blame? It is what it is. We're on thin ice. And we desperately need this client. We need this job. We need this customer. And bam, bad news. Ice breaks. We're falling through. It's a bad situation. We're in a funk. Well, the first newsflash is the world is not going to respond to your need. The world is not going to respond to your desire. I don't care what anybody tells you about the law of attraction. Don't buy it. Don't buy it. Here's what you can buy, because this is absolutely true. Biblical, but it's also true. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. Be careful what you reap. But be more careful what you sow, because that'll determine the harvest. Well, I'm on a razor's edge. Been there, done that. You've been there, done that. Maybe you're there right now. I hope not, but you might be. And if you are, what are you going to do about it? You reap what you sow. Time to get off the razor's edge. Time to get off the thin ice. Time to look for places where the ice is thicker. Well, what does that mean? How do I do that? Well, there are way too many problems. There are way too many kinds of situations that we can get ourselves into. Are we talking financial? Are we talking the person that loses the I've got to have the $10,000 to $15,000 deal. Well, in most every case in those kinds of situations, I take a look at the person's overhead. And you know what? Times were getting pretty good. I find this to be very commonplace. I'm not saying it applies to you, but if it does, if the shoe fits, business is good. Time for the bigger house. Business is good. Time for a fancier car lease. Business is good. Time to take more expensive vacations, buy more expensive jewelry, freshen up that wardrobe to fancier name brands. And all of a sudden, the lifestyle is very different than the lifestyle that we had, a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. If our need for the 5 to 10 to 15 to 20, whatever the number is, thousands of dollars that we need, is it for that? Might be time to swallow very hard and say, simplify. Might be time to simplify. Boy, it's hard. Hard for people to do. And you know why? It's the very topic we're talking about. Resilience. Mental toughness. There it is. I've buried the lead. 28 minutes in. There's the punchline. Mental toughness. How can we have it? When we lose it, how can we get it back? You do know that there's a secret to it. I'm going to tell you what it is. You ready? Self-talk. Self-talk. What do you say to yourself when those moments hit? The $10,000 customer says, we're going to have to do something different. Not going to be able to pull the trigger on that. And there we were, betting on it, banking on it. Hey, I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. You've been there too. We've all been there. Only the liars say they haven't. Tough times and tough news has hit us all. Now, we like to compare ourselves. We all like to compare ourselves. It makes us feel better. When we take a look at someone who is less fortunate than we are, it makes us feel better about ourselves. But the flip side is, when we take a look at someone who's doing better than we are, it makes us feel worse about ourselves. So in essence, our entire lives are wrapped up in how well are we doing compared to someone else. But we never do maintain the same comparison. We like to do both at the same time. How many parents do you suppose squeeze their kids much harder after the events of Newtown, Connecticut? Well, every sane parent did. Thankful, sad, brokenhearted that it happened to someone, even someone that you don't know, and maybe someone you'll never meet. But at the same time, grateful and thankful that it wasn't you. Don't lie. You know you felt that way. Come on, it's human nature. We all feel that way. Those parents who arrived at that school, went to that fire station, laid eyes on their child, as their child hollered out, "Mom, Dad," went running to them. Relief. As opposed to those parents who went in, their child never showed up, and their knees buckled. And we hate it, and we cry when we see it, but we're thankful it was not us. And on the flip side, we look at Shark Tank, and we look at these people who live a lifestyle that maybe we can only dream about. And we look at our own meager existence and we say, man, if only I could be like them. And so we're always discontented, always remorseful that we're not better, we're not more successful. Oh, and don't tell me I'm a good dad, and don't tell me I'm a good husband, and don't tell me I'm a good person and I'm honest, and not, don't give me that. I don't, you know, the world doesn't care about, yes, the world does care about that. Okay, maybe not all the people in the world care about that, but the world needs good people. And this whole entrepreneurship and this whole, you know, this whole thing is leading people, sadly, to believe that if they have a job, what a horrible life you've got. How sad. How sad for you to be a lemming. You do realize that most of the people have jobs. And you do realize, don't you, that without the working lemmings, yes, including those over in China, all those cool Apple devices that you have, you wouldn't have those. Not everybody can be a business owner. Not everybody can be an entrepreneur. Some people actually have to work for a living. No, small business people work hard. Entrepreneurs work hard. But there's an awful lot of people today that are calling themselves entrepreneurs and they're not working hard. They're not working at all. I mean, at the end of the day, you still do have to do something. Mental toughness. But when you're doing something and you're trying and you're working hard and it's just not working out, it's just not happening, what are you to do? Well, you've got a few choices. None of the least of which is to quit and do something else. Well, should I do that? I don't know. You have to decide for yourself. Countless people will tell you stories of how they got discouraged and they came close to quitting. And just at the moment that they were talking about quitting, maybe even preparing to quit, something happened. A bit of success, a bit of good news came their way and it changed everything. And are we to believe that there is this proverbial tipping point in every scenario? Are we to believe that if the person who is on thin ice and banking on the $10,000 to $15,000 customer to come through and they don't back out, they do come through, that is either the tipping point for success because they did come through and then we're off to the stratosphere of success. And if they don't, the ice breaks beneath our feet and we plummet to our death. And it's going to be one or the other. Well, come on. Life isn't that linear. Mental toughness is not this got to do it this one time kind of, you got to just keep on doing it. I mean, think of the times that you've just had, it just seems like, man, the bad news just continued to come. And it was just one defeat after another defeat after another defeat. What's going to keep you going? Your mental toughness is what's going to keep you going. Now, here's the real question. Is your mental toughness determined by external feedback, or is it something that you're just able to muster up within yourself? Let me give you the difference between motivation and inspiration. I can say things, I could do things that can inspire you. Think about a coach in a pregame speech, cheerleading, the rah-rah, and the you can do this, you know, let's go win one for the Gipper kind of stuff. Okay, that can inspire us, and there's something to that. Motivation, on the other hand, is really more properly defined as the energy that you bring with you to do the work. You got to have that. It's that tank of energy that you've got. It's that degree of mental toughness that you've got to persevere, push through, and do what must be done. I can inspire you to do that, but end of the day, you're going to do it or you're not going to do it. You've either got the energy, the motivation to do it or not. I can't motivate you. I can inspire you. I hope to inspire you. So you've had bad news. And maybe right now, here we are in the holiday seasons and everybody's talking about great things and getting together and buying gifts and you're languishing and you're fretful and you're fearful and you're not pessimistic about tomorrow because you're too busy being pessimistic about today. You're convinced tomorrow's going to be worse. You hope. Your fingers are crossed. You're hoping and wishing and thinking and dreaming that it will all be better, but it just doesn't seem to be headed in that direction. What are you going to do? Let me end by just giving you a few brief things that in my experience with my life and in trying to help other people through difficult times, and I've done that personally and professionally for a long, long time, see if these things can't help. I can assure you this, these things can't hurt. So just give them a try. One, count your blessings. Are there things that you do have to be thankful for? Are there circumstances and situations? When's the last time you really sat down and cataloged and took a hard look at what you've got and had any degree of gratitude that things were as well with you as they are, even if they're not great and they're not wonderful? Think about your health. And even if your health is failing, what about the health you do have? What about the capacity that you do have? What about your experience? What about the good times? What about the people that you have known along the way who have helped? I don't know about you, but every success that I've had, I'm going to be the last guy on the planet to tell you I'm a self-made man. Had a lot of help along the way. A lot of people who opened some doors. Yes, I had to do what needed to be done to make full use of it, but come on, you and I both know you've got to have the opportunity. So last evening, Cassidy Pope wins The Voice, 23 years old, and she's spectacular. She's talented. You think that on somewhere on the planet, there's a 23-year-old that's just as talented, maybe more so, but they didn't have an opportunity to get on a national television show to compete? You think, is that possible? Not only is it possible, you know it's true. And not only is there one person like that, there are probably thousands, perhaps tens of thousands. Yes, had to have the talent. Without the talent, was not going to win that competition, but had to have the opportunity. Had to have the platform. What about you? What are the opportunities that you've got? What are the opportunities that you could have? What are the opportunities that are just within reach, but maybe you've been too blinded and trying to compare yourself and your success up against somebody else's success, and you just don't think you measure up? Well, what are you overlooking? By counting your blessings and by having some gratitude and filling your life with a bit more thanksgiving, you'll be better prepared to see those. I guarantee it. There's not one downside to counting your blessings. There's not a single downside to spending some time thinking about, here's how my life is, here's where my life is. Man, I'm thankful. Not things could be worse, because that's what a lot of people like to do. They like to approach the whole Thanksgiving thing with, well, just think about, you know, think about the poor starving kids in Africa. Think about, no, don't compare yourself to anybody else, good or bad. Just take an assessment of where you're at, what you've got, and what is it that you can deep down, get out a piece of paper and write it. Open up a word processor document and type it. What do you have? What are your circumstances? What are your situations? And you're genuinely, heartfelt, you're thankful for them. If you're like many of us, you're probably going to start with people. Isn't that funny? You're probably not going to be occupied with things, not at the beginning of your list. Those will come, but probably the first things that leap to your mind are people. People that you care about and people who care about you. Does your concern for them and does their concern for you, are there dollar and cent signs attached to those? Man, I hope not. For your sake, I hope not. For their sake, I hope not. I hope you love your spouse. I hope you love your kids. If you're like me and you're blessed with grandkids, I hope you love them. If you're blessed like me and you have in-laws, I hope you love them. Count your blessings. Number two, determine that you're not going to remain in this funk. Now, I've never been one who has been able to pull off the magical, you know, set this time limit kind of a thing. You sometimes hear professional sports athletes talk about how they, you know, we're going to allow ourselves to, you know, kind of mourn this loss for so much time, but then we've got another game to play. Okay, in the context of a pro athlete, I get it. But in life, boy, it doesn't work that way. I have never, ever met anybody, and I personally have never been able to pull off this, the success of, okay, 24 hours from now, I'm going to be out of my funk. No, I'm going to be out of my funk whenever I'm out of my funk. So to set this time limit doesn't work, but at the same time, I do think it does help to do this, and that is to say, this too shall pass. So number two is to understand this is not an infinite period of time. If you've gone in and suddenly been let go, you've been hit right between the eyes. Your knees have buckled. If that's ever happened to you, or anything like that has ever happened to you, you know, that knee buckling thing, it happened and it was real, but over time, you got back on your feet. How long did that take? Well, different answers for different people, different circumstances, situations. Just know this, that knee buckling period isn't going to last forever. Just embrace the notion that right now in this moment, the defeat that I feel is going to pass. Things are better when the sun comes up tomorrow, almost always. Well, why? Because time passed and We need time. We need time to roll these things around in our mind. We need time to comprehend these things. We need time to formulate in our mind, okay, now what are we going to do? And that's number three. We have to think about a proper response. Now, there are a lot of facets to this, and I'm not going to dive deep and dark into, you know, all the many things that we could do. But one big thing that I'm going to tell you to do, urge you to do, as we are trying to devise a proper response is talk to people. Talk to people who care. Talk to people who matter. Talk to people who you believe can help you. Seek feedback. Seek help. It's one of the big downfalls of people, in my opinion. It's one of the things that people really get wrong when it comes to mental toughness, and that is, I'm going to go it alone. Mm-mm. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't con yourself into thinking that that's the answer. And a number of things are going to get in your way. None of the least of them is going to be pride. Yes, the Bible does say pride goeth before a fall. Why? Well, I'm too proud. I'm not going to seek help. Not going to accept help. Not going to let anybody know that I'm struggling. I've got to keep this facade up, right? Got to make everybody think I'm driving a Lamborghini and I'm living in the $5 million home. No. Nothing wrong with going through a tough patch. Nothing wrong with failure. Broadcast it to the whole world. I'm not saying that. I'm saying take a look at the people that are in your life that can help you. Take a look at the people in your life that love you and that care about you and lean on them. Solicit their help. Accept their help, knowing full well that the response that you craft will be your own. It's not their life and it's not their job. And you don't necessarily want to be seeking people who will tell you what to do, but there's no harm in soliciting input and counsel. Think of yourself as being the president of your own life, because you are the president. Any smart president, and I suppose to some degree, aren't they all? I mean, you kind of have to be, don't you, to get the job. Solicit input. They have advisors. They ask advisors, what is your recommendation? What is your recommendation? What is your recommendation? At the end of the day, they must decide. Why? They're president. That's your role. Your role is you're in a time of crisis, much like the president often finds himself in. And during the time of crisis, what do? You need to seek advisors. You need to seek wise counsel. Gather that information, comprehend that information, distill that information, and then make sure that you get busy making the decision, because that adds to your resilience. Now you have a mission. The mission is to collect as much information and as much wisdom as you can so that you can prepare a proper response to this catastrophe or this defeat. And then lastly, fourthly, get on with it. Commit to your plan. Move forward. Knowing full well that the plan that you have devised, this response, may not be the end all, be all. You may have to adjust it. You may have to tweak it along the way. It too may fail. And in so doing, take a look at the lessons that you can learn. Now, these lessons that can be learned from a whack to the side of the head and having our knees buckle, those lessons typically, in my experience, they don't come sooner. They come later. So don't sit there and try to analyze, because people tend to do this at the worst possible time. You know, there's a time to learn from a defeat. And since people love sports analogies, it just does not hold true, I don't think, in real life. A football team that gets defeated and they lose on a Sunday, they have Monday off, they come in Tuesday morning and they're looking at film. What are they looking at? They're looking at all the things they did wrong Sunday. It's proper in that setting, but boy, when it comes to real life, you've been whacked on the side of the head and immediately you're going to try to figure out what lessons you can learn from it. There's too much going on. There's too much noise and commotion in your head. I would not suggest you do that. Not now. Rather, count your blessings. move on toward the progress of being the president of your own life. And after seeking wise counsel and devising a plan and figuring out now what is going to be the proper, the most proper response, get busy building that response, acting on that response, fulfilling that response. As you're doing that, some of the lessons of history will probably become more well known. And lastly, some things, you know, you just have to give it time. You just have to give it time. All of us can improve our mental toughness. There's little doubt that we're living in a day and age where mental toughness is the call of the day. We need it. We need a lot more of it. And there's much more that I could have said, and I could say things far more eloquently, I'm sure, with even greater preparation. But I want this to have been an encouragement to you. We're living in a great time. And whether we're living in a great time or not is really beside the point, because, hey, we're alive. And so it's our time. Okay, it's our time. What are we going to do with it? Ah, there's the rub. What are you going to do with it? It's your life. It's your time. What are you going to do with it? Make it count. Make it count for something. Make it count for something to the people that love you and the people that you love. Do the most spectacular thing that you can do. And sometimes that may include failing, being defeated. Nothing wrong with that. Hey, you know, it's that age old thing, better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. Well, I don't know about that, but it certainly is better to have tried and failed than never to have tried at all. So be proud for trying. And know that you're in grand company, because, hey, we're all out here just giving it a go. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is BulaNetwork.com. That's BulaNetwork.com. I do have some coaching available in January 2013. If you're interested, go click the coaching tab. Randy Cantrell. This is the Yellow Studio.